Hello and welcome to the Unmissables podcast, your weekly trawl through the world of popular culture, mainly television, with me, Boyd Hilton, and my glorious colleagues, Stephanie Seelan.
Hello.
And Kay Ribeiro.
Hiya.
This week, we're calling it our Christmas special.
Ding, ding.
Which means we're going to preview some of the biggest and best shows coming up over the Christmas period, Christmas week of television. And we're also going to pick out some of other highlights that we're just looking forward to that you might not have even seen yet. Rather than the traditional opener where we go, oh, this is what we've been watching, blah, 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 and we witter on in a highly entertaining and amusing manner, we're going to focus on what we're really excited about because this, let's face it, is the biggest week of TV of the year.
Absolutely. Can we also put into context that we're all wearing our Christmas jumpers?
Well, so Boyd's wearing a Christmas T-shirt.
I'm wearing a Christmas Supreme T-shirt, which is very rude.
It's a bit obscene.
Apologia.
It's very rude.
It is rude, sorry. It's Skellington's...
Cavorting.
It's very rude.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
That's why I was wearing my Supreme hoodie over the top, but I had to take it off because we record this in the hottest room in the known universe.
It's so hot.
The specific meat that we're going to review, big time, any second now, includes Rat Burger on Sky One on Christmas Eve, The Miniaturist on BBC One on Boxing Day, and Black Mirror, yes, the whole new series drops on the 28th of December, whatever day of the week that is, God only knows. And we're going to also pick shows each, as I said, for Christmas. Let's get on with it. I mean, why mess about?
Get straight to the meat. Get straight to the turkey.
Exactly.
Oh, nice.
Festive meat.
Nicely done.
Leg or breast?
Always breast.
No, always something. A nut roast for me. A nut roast.
Of course.
Get straight to
a
the nut
roast. A bit of
nerky. Yeah, a little bit of nerky.
Let's start. Tofurkey. Yes. Let's start with one of two adaptations this festive period of David Walliams' children's novels. And he is, as you know, the world's most popular children's author
these days. Wait a minute. No, because I've just written down two facts that I would like to share about
David Walliams.
Okay. David Walliams has sold 22 million of his books worldwide, and he is the most successful children's author of this decade.
Yeah.
I was going to say, because Roald Dahl, well, you know.
Right now. Well, he's the new Roald Dahl. He's Roald Dahl.
He really is.
Reincarnate.
Yeah.
So on New Year's Day, I believe, Grandpa's Great Escape is going to be on the BBC One.
Okay.
Which is excellent. I've seen that. But we're going to focus on Sky One. So these have been on the BBC every year for about the last 4 or 5 years, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, there's been an adaptation of a David Walliams children's book. But Sky One's got in on the act, and they've got Rat Burger. This is Rat Burger. It's on Christmas Eve at 6 o'clock. And it stars David as the key figure in the thing of this guy, Bert, who runs the burger van, if you've read the book. He's a greasy, nasty...
No, he's not a good guy.
Not a good guy. It's all at Sheridan Smith, David's real friend in real life, is in it as a stepmother to this lovely little girl, and she's not very nice either. The lovely girl, Zoe, is played by Talia Barnett, who's very good, I think, and her dad is played by Mark Benton. And that's about it, isn't it? Oh, and Ben Bailey-Smith is in it, we should mention, as this kind of like celebrity chef figure, who's very funny, I think. Had you read this book? Because you give David's books to your various nieces.
Yeah, do you know what? I've basically established myself as best auntie ever because every Christmas when we are lucky enough to shoot David for our Stars Dress Up Christmas double issue, I get his new book for my nieces and I ask him to sign it and he does and they're absolutely over the moon, completely thrilled. So yeah, they've read a lot of the books. I've read quite a few with them as well. I don't think I've actually read Rat Burger, but I know they have. But yeah.
Yeah, so the story is...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Should we say what the story...
Yeah,
okay,
Stephanie Seelan.
Right, the story is... Poor little girl, she's got this terrible, her mummy died and she's living with her dad who is lovely. But she's got this awful stepmother, as we've said, played by Sheridan Smith. She's been slightly bullied at school by a girl who lives next door
bullied.
To her.
Yeah.
And she's got like a best friend. But the big thing is her dad buys her a hamster, okay? And very early on, this is the premise, okay? It's not a spoiler. The hamster... goes to that big
Snuffs
hamster
it.
Wheel in the sky. No, okay. Goes to that big hamster wheel in the sky.
Still alive, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it turns out that there's been something's gone on there. The hamster's gone, okay? And then she finds that she puts some music on to remind her of her mum, and she finds that there is a rat in her bedroom, but not just any rat.
Mm-mm.
This rat is a dancing to Beyonce rat. This rat loves to dance, okay? Which is obviously amazing. Miraculously, there is a talent show at school and she decides that she's going to enter the talent show with her rat. However, lots of people are going to try and get in her way.
Mm-hmm.
and yep. entertainment ensues.
You know what you've done? You've summed it up.
I've done a sum up.
It's a sum up.
It's a sum up, pretty effectively, yeah. So what do we think? I mean, you're a big Roald Dahl fan.
Yeah.
People compare David to Roald Dahl. I think this is when I read this book and I thought, oh, it's Dahlian. Yeah, you know, there's definitely like elements to it. But it's also got David's very specific sense of humour. It's very cheeky and irreverent, you know, kind of no holds barred in a way. Like, he doesn't, you know, kind of politically incorrect sometimes, you know.
Dahl.
Yeah, right, like Dahl, yeah. So what did you think, Kay?
Yeah, I think you're right, it's completely Dahlian. Like, because Dahl used to have those really hideous, odious figures that would actually be quite terrifying for children. And we have to say, David plays a man who grinds up animals to put in burgers, rat burgers. So, you know, it's kind of like the stuff of nightmares. But for me, the complete highlights are David and Sheridan. Because Sheridan is one of the greatest, I think she's one of the greatest character actors we have in the country. And she's really perfectly cast as this disgusting slob of a stepmother who is horrendous to Zoe. Is it her character's name, Zoe?
Yeah.
Zoe. I think Sheridan completely is amazing in this.
She's brilliant, absolutely brilliant, yeah.
I think, again, I mean, David Williams is also one of the greatest character actors we have, and I just love him in this. I think it's absolutely brilliant. And I thought it must be so hard to kind of have written this book and then, like, I don't know how he manages to embody this character. I know that sounds weird because he's written it, but he embodies it as if he didn't write it. Do you know what I mean? He completely wholeheartedly takes this character on, and he's amazing
the best,
in it.
But he's the best person for the role because I can't imagine who else would play.
But that's what
don't
I
think?
Mean. But somehow, for some reason, I would think, God, that must be really, really difficult. I think the whole thing is really enchanting. I'm surprised it's on at 6 p.m. That seems quite late for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's Christmas Eve. Kids are up,
aren't
they?
They'll be up. Yeah. They'll be up later. There's a lot of good messages in this. And what I really liked about this is messages about bullying. There's messages about acceptance. There's messages about overcoming your fears. It's a really lovely way to start Christmas off with your family. And it's really funny.
It is really funny.
Yeah. There's stuff for adults as well, actually. Because you know that character Charlie Jacob you mentioned earlier? So he's kind of like this ridiculously chirpy advocate for healthy eating. Yeah. He's obviously Jamie Oliver type character, which is really,
really
funny.
Good, yeah.
But also there's references to like films that adults will be aware of. So like there's a scene that they're recreating, the ghost scene with Sheridan and David kneading rat meat on a wheel to like the pottery scene.
But that is what I think the most skilled children's writers, and even you get this with stuff like, and it sounds silly, but you get this with stuff like Peppa Pig, the most skilled children's authors will be able to write on a level that is hilarious to children and also hilarious to adults. And that's what I think David Williams is just like head and shoulders above everybody else.
Yeah, because that's the thing for me, is the genius of it is that these are absolutely aimed at children. And, you know, your nieces are the like key ages that they're aimed at, I think. Probably.
8 and 10.
They're genuinely funny for adults as well. Like, they're always, you know, it's just because they are so smart and witty.
Because
he is dealing, and I think it is the kind of, that they're quite edgy, you know, that there are really nasty things going on that he celebrates in that Roald Dahl way. I keep going, talking about Roald Dahl, but he admits it's
a huge
influence.
I think it's impossible to talk about David Williams as a writer without mentioning him.
So it's the tone of it is quite dark and horrible, but incredibly funny at the same time. Yeah. And then really sweet and moving at certain key moments as well. So yeah, I think it's about, I was trying to find the name for the last, while you've been talking, I've been desperately trying to find the name of the boy who plays the best friend, because I think he's fantastic.
Oh, he's really good, yeah.
He's so good, isn't he? As the kind of like, you know, quite posh, kind of funny, lovable best friend. I think he's really good.
What was his name?
I can't find his name.
Oh, fine.
Apologies.
I'm really happy because Raj is, as any Williams fan knows, Raj appears in every single book as the sweet-natured, funny newsagent. I'm so happy he's in it. I don't know who plays him. He's really good. Also, and we've mentioned him on a pod a long, long time ago, Burnside from The Bill is in it.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Ellison. He's in there. He's in this as a landlord. And he's
a real life artist.
Yes. And he's fantastic.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, Raj, the shopkeeper, is wonderful character. Yeah. He is, well, I mean, I haven't seen any other of David Williams' adaptations and also haven't read any of the books, but I fell completely in love with that shopkeeper.
He's a recurring character and he's honestly
Raj just is great. Played by Harish Patel.
I just love the way that you can kind of, from my childhood, you kind of like all the little anecdotes of shopkeepers and things like that, they all come into it and it's drawn very well.
Absolutely. And the little friend, who I think is played by George Kent.
a lot of good messages in this, I think.
a lot
for
of
young
messages.
People.
Exactly.
Yeah, because exactly because the character that is bullying Zoe is actually being bullied herself. So that's
and it's just a fun caper as well.
It's a caper. Oh, good word. Caper. Yeah, and Sarah Hadland's in it, of course. She mentioned she's very good, good as the cop. Anyway, how many stars are we giving it, Kay?
I'm giving 4.5 stars.
I'm also going to go 4.5.
I'm going to go 4.5.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You set you now your
FY
flag to the mast.
Now then, I think it's fair to say that the flagship drama this festive season, new drama, you know, there's obviously there's classics that get, you know, special episodes, Doctor Who and this, that and the other. But the brand new drama, The Miniaturist, is in two parts, starting on Boxing Day and concluding the following night. And it kicks off with a feature-length episode, doesn't it, Steph?
Well, as I found out, Boyd told me, Pogs, people on the ground, are lovely listeners. Boyd, I had to watch everything last night, and Boyd gave me the running times of everything, which were grossly underestimated, and I had to add on an hour and a half to all mine.
I did forget that the Miniaturist was feature-length, because...
94 minutes, everyone.
Apologies.
For the first episode.
Kay and I went to the screening of it, and it kind of wasn't really clear how long it would be, and we just kind of immersed ourselves.
We just went into a dark room and we emerged.
We often do. Yeah.
But also, Kay's already Kay's read the book.
I know, I was going to say, I'm completely letting Kay kick this one off, because you are, let me say, one of the world's biggest fans of this book, aren't you?
I am. I read it at the beginning of the year, knowing this was going to come out. And the book is beautifully written, and, well, you'll see when we sum it up, but... The show doesn't disappoint, but... Okay, so the main character is called Nella, and she's an 18-year-old girl who has an arranged marriage with this wealthy merchant called Johannes, and she arrives in Amsterdam, and life isn't as it seems. You know, she thinks she's going to be entering into this very loving relationship, and he is loving, but it's just different to how she imagined, because... On arrival, she finds that the house is already being run by his very dominant puritanical sister called Marin, who's played by Romola Garai.
Yeah.
Who I think was in, what was it, The Hour?
An Atonement. And
Yeah,
all those things, all those good things. And they've got two servants. And the wedding gift that Johannes gets her is this doll's house, which... A miniaturist keeps on sending her seemingly random gifts for it, which she unsolicited.
She asks him at first, though. She starts the ball. She gets the ball rolling.
Okay, yeah. She asks for a couple of things, but then packages just keep on arriving, and they seem to have prophetic qualities because everything that she's getting seems to come true.
The house, the doll's house, is a exact elaborate replica of the house they're living in.
Yes.
And this mystery miniaturist, so we don't know who it is, this local.
But it might be that woman who keeps running around who looks like she's from Scottish Widows advert.
It might be.
That woman. It's like the Scottish widow.
She makes replicas of all of the key members of the house doing things. And she is like, she foretells what's going on. The key things that are happening in their lives. It is spooky and weird. And at the same time, you've got this very gothic, it's like Rebecca, isn't it? The classic Rebecca.
Yeah,
the outsider arriving in the house, the housekeeper, in this case, the sister, is terrifying and is really mean to her. The rest of the staff are quite mean to her, which is really weird. And you kind of don't know how can the staff be mean to the woman of the house who is married to the guy? And what's he's got all kinds of things going on. It is very like
Daphne
du Maurier-ish.
I know, but I think they find her annoying because she's kind of walking around with a heaving bosom the whole time. Do you know what I mean? Because there's a lot of heaving bosom in this.
She's just got bosom. She can't help heaving them.
Yeah, but they're always heaving.
She's breathing.
Pogs, you decide.
We should say the main Nella, the main character, is played by Anya Taylor-Joy, who is one of the rising stars. Because she was in The Witch. Did you see The Witch? The brilliant indie horror film. It was fantastic.
No, I didn't.
And she was in that, which came out last year, I think, or the year before. And it was such an incredible, kind of interesting film that it immediately turned into an overnight star. And she's fantastic in this, isn't she, again?
Oh, my God.
Complete standout, though, is Romola.
Yes.
She is incredible as Marin. And everything she's able to convey, like not just with her expressions, the unsaid for her, I think, is more powerful even than... the speech, but
as our book expert, does it capture what was so? What did you love about the book? And
so
does this capture what you love about the book?
Yeah, it was so beautifully written and evocative of that time, and I think that obviously comes across.
1686 in Amsterdam.
Absolutely, that's a particular vintage year. I think
always
agree.
Wants to
November.
Know.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, can I just say I was describing this show to the Doctor Who Christmas special screening. I was describing this. I was asked by Stephen Moffat's lovely wife. What to look forward to at Christmas, and said, "Oh, the miniature is really good." And I said, "It's set in like 19th century Amsterdam. It's like 300 years out. Carry on."
Oh, dear. No, 1686.
What a doofus.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I think it's, and it's very atmospheric.
Yes.
And I think all the characters, they're very like well-rounded, and like you feel so sorry for this Nella, who's just thought she, you know, she had this amazing life ahead of her, and actually it's quite traumatic and stressful. But what's interesting is, so I've watched the second episode.
Oh.
And I think, I mean, Pogs, if you've read this, because I read it at the beginning of the year, but I also have a terrible memory, but I think they might have added a scene in that wasn't in the book where she actually meets the miniaturist.
Oh.
So in the first episode, because in the book, she does catch a glimpse of who she thinks is the miniaturist, and we saw that in the first episode.
Right. Scottish Widow's person.
Scottish Widow's person.
She thinks the Scottish Widow's person is
she
the miniaturist. She
thinks that, right?
Miniaturist.
And I think from reading the book, but maybe I just like, you know, sometimes when you're reading very fast, you may, but I just, I don't think she ever met.
I think that would be too big.
Never say that.
Scene.
No, it's quite possible.
Never say,
yeah, it's quite possible.
I just said
maybe,
that.
Maybe, you know, for the podcast we're doing for the new year, check.
Okay,
I will
so
check.
Check.
I did no,
us.
I did Google it a few times, but I couldn't.
Or maybe if you tweet it, and you know.
Yeah, so I'm like, no, what I'm saying, Pogs, get in touch.
Oh,
if you've,
people
if you've
on the
read
ground
it,
listeners.
And you think that okay. she does have this, but if not, they've added it in. And I have to say, actually, usually I'm a real purist when a book's, you know, adaptation, that if they change it too much or they add stuff. But I have to say, for TV viewers, I don't think you could leave it without meeting the miniaturist, because it would just be too.
I was kind of kicking myself for not having read this book. You know, I'm not a big reader, guys. But
you should read
but
it.
But you said it was really good. But now, I really loved this first episode so much that I was, and I just cannot wait to get home to, like, watch the second episode. So I really want to know what happens. But I just, there was one thing that happens in this first episode that was particularly distressing to me, and I wish I hadn't seen with my eyes.
Oh.
I think we all know. I'm going to do an impression of what happens.
Okay.
I'm doing it now. See, remember
oh,
what happens?
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Okay. Yes, yes. There's a,
all
there's
I'm saying
a,
is there's a real kind of RSPCA
a disturbing
type
moment.
Situation.
Oh, no spoilers. There's a disturbing
She's
moment.
She's got a parrot.
She's got, there are multiple animals featured, yeah.
But, Steph, even though you've watched it, I really urge you to go and read the book. And everyone listening, actually, read the book. It's really good if you've got a book club, actually. It'll be a perfect book to discuss. There's so
just
many good themes.
Feel like after you've watched it on television, you can go back and read the book.
Yeah, you can. If something's good, something's good. And actually,
but what
you
if
know,
someone's
they have to edit,
lazy?
They have
like
to edit. You have to edit down like a book, don't you, to be on TV? You can't include everything. You should definitely go and read it.
Yeah.
Oh, the ultimate word, I think, is sacrifice.
It. Oh,
the theme
word.
Of the show, sacrifice.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, but Romola is the star.
I thought they were all brilliant, though. I thought the other servants were brilliant. Mm. I thought that Johannes was great. I think Anya Taylor-Joy is perfectly cast. I mean, I haven't read the book, but to me, as this kind of innocent but not.
Oh, she's beautiful.
She's in it. She's innocent.
Feisty.
But
coming
really,
of age,
she doesn't know why all these people are being so horrible to her. And I thought her responses, because sometimes in these things you think, why is Rebecca, you know, in the brilliant Alfred Hitchcock films, one of my favourite films, why isn't she being more active? She's very passive, why isn't she? Whereas in this, it's like that's happening, but she's dealing with it.
Yeah, it's how someone would react.
Yeah, she's not taking any shit from these effing bastards.
No.
And I thought that was brilliantly done.
Yeah.
And so even though it's in, say, in the 1600s or whatever, you believe that she would behave the
yeah,
way
absolutely.
She does.
And
I thought it was rivetingly, beautifully filmed.
Wonderful.
Fantastic production design of this house.
Yeah,
and
I want to know who actually makes those miniature
well,
things, because they're
at the
incredible.
Screening we went to,
we
there was a real
them.
Miniaturist there.
The person who actually made those things?
Oh, yes.
What a talent.
This
what
house
a talent.
Is based on, like, this exists in the museum in Amsterdam. So that's how the author, Jessie, got the idea. She saw this and she's like, I know, what would happen if... And then she made this fictional tale around it.
I have to say, the only thing I didn't... I was really distracted by this whole selling of the sugar thing, which I know is a central thing. But, right, basically... So Johannes Brandt is a merchant and he has to keep going to... off to try and he's been given a load of sugar by a wealthy couple and they were like, can you sell the sugar for us? And I just found that a little bit annoying.
No, it's important.
It's
the
important.
Story.
But I know what you mean, because you think why they're going about sugar so much. But
they do talk about sugar.
It's giving you very solid sugar basis for
but
the,
you don't find out the reason why.
No, but it's all about the economics of the situation there, that he has to do certain things to keep his business going.
And whether he's willing to do it or not.
And a lot of the character interrelations
and
the double crossing and all that is built around this sugar.
I know, but the sugar is in
sugar's
like
one of your favourite
kind.
Things.
Well,
I can't believe you're not into
so
it.
So I was like, the whole time I was watching, I was thinking about Terry's chocolate orange. It was really disturbing.
Very Steph. Very Steph takeaway from the miniaturist. Only Steph will take that away from watching.
It was excellent, though. I really loved it.
You know what? It slightly reminded me. me of before we give our star ratings. Mm. One of my favorite, Hunderby. You know the Julia Davis?
Yeah.
Which is, that also was very much a kind of Daphne du Maurier-esque, played for laughs.
Yeah, you
the innocent invading this house. And she was, Julia Davis's character was the evil. And I thought, in a way, Romola Garrow, I thought, have you watched Julia Davis? Because there was a bit of her in that. Mm. And it's brilliantly funny when it's played for laughs in Hunderby. I think a double bill, this and Hunderby, one after the other, would be hilarious.
Oh, that's it. And I loved it, though. It's brilliant. I don't like it when you are watching something serious and then something funny comes into your mind.
No, it's absolutely fine.
Oh, okay.
Deal with it.
All right.
How many stars are you giving it, Steph?
I'm going to give this 5. I can't wait to go home to watch the second part. I need to know what happens.
Ruddy bloody 5 from me.
Total 5 from me.
Do they sell the sugar? Who knows?
The interesting thing about for me is it starts on Boxing Day and the 27th, and so it's going to miss out on all the best of the year. I think it's one of the best dramas of the year. I thought
absolutely.
It's so good.
This is what Crooked House. You know, we were talking last week about the Agatha Christie Channel 5.
Should have been.
This is what we're talking, quality drama.
Yeah.
Crooked House.
Don't miss it. The Miniaturist, as we're calling
Crooked
it.
Crooked Performances.
BBC One, Boxing Day, 9 o'clock. Then, a few days later, crank up your Netflix, everyone, because all 6
that's
episodes,
noise.
Good noise, of season 4 of Charlie Brooker's Black Mirror drops all together. And I'm a huge big fan of Black Mirror. We mentioned it last week, and you were furious about the title Black Mirror.
Right.
John, the guru, producer, editor, came up with a brilliant explanation
Let me just explain what happened, okay? So I said to Boyd, if you didn't listen last week, I said to Boyd that I didn't watch Black Mirror because I was slightly put off by the title because I thought it was stupid, okay? Which is perfectly
reasonable. The two words, Black and Mirror.
Yeah, I thought it was stupid, which everyone was like, why is
it
stupid?
And then I said, well, what about the tunnel? That doesn't sound exciting.
Yeah, and I said... Okay, to repeat, that does sound exciting. Who's in the tunnel?
What's
in the tunnel? Where's the tunnel?
What's
happened in the tunnel? That's exciting.
Yeah.
Anyway, then John has given... Are we going to repeat John's explanation? Because it is very clever.
Well, yeah, go on. If you can remember it, if you can find it.
Well, he text messaged us, so we all have it on
our WhatsApp group.
Digital...
Let's all find it.
Okay, so whilst we're doing
that... Find it first.
All right. Okay, so there has been 3 series of this, and this is Charlie Brooker's, who's won lots of... What did he win? A Golden Globe for this last year?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so he writes...
And he got nominated for... And he won an Emmy this year.
Yeah. Okay, here you go. Right, sorry. So this is the text message we received in our WhatsApp group. Oh, capitals. I meant to say, Black Mirror is a brilliant title. It's a reflection on the darkest parts of society. A black mirror, if you will. It's also a comment on technology and how we spend all day, every day, glued to our screens. Or black mirrors, if you will. And then, he hasn't highlighted this, but I'm just going to say it. It says, Apologia, Steph. But you're wrong on this one. Rude.
Yeah, and that takes a lot for John to directly accuse you of being wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, even Ricky Whittley did
Listen, I won't repeat what I said to him, but it was strongly worded.
But of course, he is right. And so Black Mirror is this kind of, it's like part, isn't it? Yeah, like techno paranoia. Generally, there's like some kind of technical, kind of sci-fi-ish quality to them, but not always. Sometimes
they're all thought-provoking.
Very all
modern
thought-provoking.
Preoccupations.
So, 6 completely individual stories in the new series. And I thought, we were talking about, should we all try and watch them all? We can't do that, not enough time. And two of them are beyond a feature length. Then I thought, should we all watch the same one? So we all watched the same one, which is called Crocodile, which is directed by John Hillcoat, a very esteemed director. It stars Andrea Riseborough. And shall I explain it? It's basically, it starts off with these two, this couple, off their heads in a nightclub.
Yeah.
It's set in a beautiful environment somewhere Scandinavian.
It's Iceland. It's very Fortitude.
Very Fortitude.
Oh.
They're off their heads. They go. They drive foolishly. They drive away.
Don't drink and drive, guys.
Don't
say no kids.
Drug and drive.
Don't drug, drive. Yeah. Don't substance and drive.
They kill someone. They kill an innocent person. They drive
a cyclist, no less.
Cyclist, no less. And then it cuts to years later where he's coming back. They've led separate lives. She's now married with kids, got a successful life. He's like a bit of a loser still, but he comes to see her. And he comes to see her and says, and reminds her of the whole situation. She gets annoyed with him. I'm now thinking, how much of this, what do I need to say? Not much more. All you need to
one
know.
One more
is,
sentence.
Thank you. All you need to know is Kiran Sonia Sowa plays this. The kind of technical element is that we're now in this world where she can tap into people's memories and literally see them on her iPhone or on a little machine to see what people have seen in key incidents.
Yes, a little chip.
For
insurance purposes.
Yeah, so she puts this little chip on the face and it starts to mind read.
Yes, and she's like she's like a modern future insurance checker, or whatever they're called, insurance woman. And that's the basis of it. What did we think? So you're a fan of The Black Mirror. Have you seen all the previous ones?
You'll remember a couple of weeks ago I said I started watching it.
Yeah.
And I watched one of them. And I thought it was really, really good because I didn't realise they were all isolated things. But I really like Charlie Brooker and I'm stupid really. I should have watched all of them. I thought this was sensational. It was completely gripping. I felt unnerved. I felt tense. And usually when I watch something that makes me feel really tense, I don't want to know what happens. But this, I just could not look away from it. Andrea Riseborough is absolutely phenomenal in this role. I mean, she is so stressed throughout the whole thing. And how she maintains her performance the whole way through is just... it's incredible. It's just such a clever, clever story. And the conclusion, which obviously we're not going to give away, is mind-blowing.
It's good,
it's
isn't it?
Absolutely genius, yeah. This thing. You will all love it.
I'd
be surprised if you didn't, because it's so clever and original.
Yeah, I think you, Kayrib, you were a Black Mirror virgin, weren't you?
Yep, virgin. And you know I'm a bit of a scaredy cat as well, to boot.
All right. Did you watch it on your own?
Well, no, she was sat next to me and she, every now and then she was like turning away from the screen.
No, but I was it was funny about it. And I think this is like, I don't know if this is like the social commentary on that, but it's like, there's more than one death that happens. And as they become desensitized to murder, I also have become desensitized to seeing it. So I think it's maybe the commentary on like how desensitized everyone is to it. Because by the end of it, I was like, yeah, it all seems logical and normal to me. I don't know, maybe that means I'm a sociopath. But
I think you are a sociopath, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, and as Steph said, there was a brilliant twist at the end, which I love, because something that you think at the beginning is so inconsequential, a detail, becomes so significant, and I think it's just genius.
The other thing, the inspirations for Black Mirror are things like Tales of the Unexpected and The Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
And Tales of the Unexpected, I was lucky enough to interview Charlie Brooke and the producer at an event about a month ago, and they were talking about how Tales of the Unexpected, even people, the best ones are ones that had a brilliant twist.
Yeah.
So now, you know, I was asking, do you feel the pressure to have a twist at the end of it? Because he writes all of these. Sometimes you might co-writer, but he writes all of them, and he was saying, you know, if he's got a twist in mind, or if a twist occurs to him, then he'll plonk it in, but he doesn't feel he has to. But this does have a great twist.
I'm so jealous if someone can be that clever.
He's so clever.
Because also it's completely, as Kay has just alluded to, you have got no idea, because I was watching it thinking, how the hell is this going to end?
Yeah.
What is going to happen?
Yeah, because actually the action's going up until the last 10 minutes. You're like,
it's just so, so intense. And then I thought, are they just going to do something really annoying, just like roll the credits and then you have to think for yourself what might have happened? But they don't. And
no one likes to think for themselves.
Especially not me. No. I was so satisfied. Yeah. I do. I need to know every detail. Yeah.
Right. In fact, one of the things, one of the best things about the whole phenomenon of Black Mirror is how unpredictable it is. So because you enter, each story is completely different. You have no idea what it's going to be about and where it's going to go. And from scene to scene, it's unpredictable as well. And I think that's brilliant. Can I just quickly mention, before we go to our full thing, I've watched most of this series now. And there's a couple to mention. One is called USS Callister, which is the one that all the critics are saying is the best one.
Okay.
I actually think Crocodile's maybe even better. Ooh. But that one feels like a Star Trek spoof. It's like based on a show exactly like Star Trek. And Michaela Cole's in it and Jesse Plemons. But it has a completely bizarre, incredible thing happening as well, which I won't explain.
After
half an hour, it kind of reveals what's really going on, and it's mind-blowing. And also, there's Black Museum, which so Netflix kind of lists them all. You can watch them in any order you want.
Yeah.
But Black Museum is the one, if you like, at the end. And Black Museum, believe it or not, is a portmanteau story within a Black Mirror episode. There's four stories within this episode.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if with my brain is going to just...
He's so, mind-blowingly, he's actually got four separate stories within an episode of Black Mirror, which is within six stories.
Is he good or is it too smart?
It's great. No, it's great.
He needs to just have a rest.
Too smart for his own good.
His brain must just be like... Bah.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other good thing about the crocodile is that it could be true. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's like set in the near future. This is definitely going to happen.
Mm. I was sort of thinking... This could happen so easily. This snowball effect.
It could. I think we're all pretty excited and keen on
Black
Mirror. How many
stars
are you giving it, Kay?
It's a 5 from me.
It's a 5 from me. Well done, Charlie. Well done, you. Your parents must be very proud.
We picked out three shows that we picked out three shows that we thought were going to be good, and in my opinion, they all deserved 5 stars. But let's have a look at what else is on at Christmas. There's loads of stuff on at Christmas. I'm going to start because, you know, you two may...
I'm flicking through now.
Wait. We should first of all say we're flicking through the fantastic double issue of Heat on sale now.
What's
all good
that?
Retailers.
You haven't bought yours yet? Well, pause. Out you go.
All I'm going to mention is I've seen the Christmas Doctor Who.
Oh,
yes.
Right.
Was
Christmas
it amazing?
Christmas Day, 5:30. It's not only is it Peter Capaldi's last episode.
Is it Stephen
Moffat's last episode. It's Pearl Mackie's last episode. We thought she died in the previous one, but she pops back in to take her role in it. Not only that, you get the return of the first ever Doctor, played by the great David Bradley, channeling William Hartnell, who was the first Doctor. It's mind-blowingly, incredibly enjoyable and unbelievably moving. There's a whole First World War thing going on as well, because Mark Gatiss plays a World War I captain. And what happens to him and how that plays out in the end is unbelievably moving. So if you think Doctor Who is all about, you know, silly sci-fi and Daleks and that,
no,
it's really beautiful, this episode. And what they didn't show, so even though we went to the screening and they showed it on a huge IMAX screen, and there are lots of MPs and important people there, they didn't show the transformation into Jodie Whittaker.
Hold on a minute, did you just say there were lots of MPs?
Yeah, this is like a big BBC event every year where they invite MPs, important people. Important people. Yeah.
I think MPs should be going. They've got other things to do. Sort out the
country. So I've seen the whole thing and it is brilliant. But no one in the world, apart from obviously the people who run the show, make the show, have seen the transformation into Jodie Whittaker.
Oh, I love that.
Is that.
That's really good.
So we all have to tune in at 6:25 or 5:30 to see the whole
episode. You'll all be pogs that day.
We'll all be people on the ground. And journalists everywhere are probably furious because they have to work on Christmas Day and file their reports on what Jodie Whittaker.
I'm sure you'll be doing that, won't you?
I'm just going to tweet about it, obviously. So I'm picking Doctor Who, Christmas Day. I also wanted to mention also on Christmas Day at 10:35, 300 years of French and Saunders.
Oh, that's what I was going to pick.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right.
We should have consulted.
On, we should have.
You can mention that as well, which is a celebration of their 30th anniversary, believe it or not, and it's the first new material for years and years and years with the two of them. And it's also a look back. And I also wanted to mention Alan Carr, traditional on Christmas Day, chatty man. He's got Noel Gallagher. That's all you need to know, because Noel Gallagher and Alan Carr are two of the funniest, greatest people in the world.
Boyd, I'm surprised. Kay. I thought you were going to go for Victoria Wood.
That's what I decided to go for.
Do it.
Right,
okay.
Go for Wood.
So, our friend Victoria at Christmas, BBC One, 9:30 p.m, 23rd of December, guys. Kick your Christmas
also
off.
Also known as my birthday.
Also,
I mean, obviously, I won't be in to watch it because I will be out with Kay for her birthday. But, okay, we all love Victoria Wood. Who doesn't love Victoria Wood? I mean, nobody. Everybody loves her. So this is basically her greatest moments, her greatest comedy moments, all put together, hosted by the great Anne Reid, one of Victoria's long-term collaborators.
Absolutely.
It's going to be one for all the family. And also, you know, let's appreciate Victoria Wood as greatest, one of the greatest comics of all time.
Correct. Anything else?
Can I go to
go
me?
Go to Kay.
Yeah.
Kay.
I want to talk about, first of all, Christmas Day, Christmas EastEnders.
Come on.
No Christmas is complete without a trip to Walford.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of those people who never watches EastEnders ever, but I might actually watch the Christmas one.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Shall I tell you what? It's all based around Max Branning and all his lies.
Oh, I like him. He's an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, Gunnar, exactly. Everyone tune in for that reason only.
Mm. How bad a person would you have to be, but still be a Gunnar for you to like get past you? Do you know what I mean? So, like, if they were a Gooner, how much does that get you out of being a bad person?
Oh, well, famously, Osama bin Laden was rumoured to be an Arsenal fan.
Okay, so you like him, do you?
No, I didn't like him.
Right, okay, well.
That was the test. That was the line. He crossed the line. Carry on.
He really did, didn't he?
He did.
Naughty boy.
EastEnders.
Anyway, back to EastEnders. Yeah, and basically, it's all going to kick off because Stacey's found her phone, and on the phone...
What's
you know
that?
What? No.
Stacey lost her phone.
Oh, offended. We've offended Kay.
You haven't offended Kay. No, you've offended all the people who like EastEnders, who you're belittling right now.
No, hold on a minute. When did she lose her phone? What happened? And did she really lose it?
I'm just relieved that Steph's taking the piss more than I am.
No, I want to know the circumstances.
Hold on. Is it a back of the cab situation? Did someone really steal it? Did she just leave it in a coat pocket? Was it on the tube? What are the circumstances?
Just let me know when you finish, Chuckles.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to tell you the significance of that. So all I say to everyone, if you want to tune in for that, or, hey, listen to this again if you want more sarcasm from Steph, tune in at 9 o'clock on Christmas Day.
That went well.
also, and this one is for Steph, actually. I just quickly want to say, on Boxing Day, Little Women is on, BBC One at 8 o'clock. And Angela Lansbury's in it. Yeah, Angela plays Aunt March.
To be fair, that is probably the other huge big BBC flagship. But that's a three-parter, isn't it? Running on consecutive nights, 8 o'clock. Yeah, starting on Boxing Day.
So you've got Miniaturist at 9 on BBC One, and then you've got Little Women before that at 8 o'clock.
At 8. Anything else you want to mention that you're looking for?
Yeah, just last one. Have you talked about this already? I can't remember.
No. Right. Go for it. Yeah, this is
Wednesday, the 27th of December at 9 o'clock. Stop what you're doing, even if you've got a terrible hangover. Make sure you're on the sofa. BBC Two for Alan Partridge. Why, when, where, how, and whom? It's going to be epic.
Aha.
Yeah.
Steph, that basically is
a tribute.
It's a celebration.
To him.
It's a celebration with Steve Coogan heavily involved. Of the whole career of Alan Partridge at the BBC. And it's everyone involved, everyone who helped create Alan Partridge and worked with Alan Partridge is in it.
Yep.
Lynn will be there. Dan will
Armando
be there.
Armando Iannucci. Yeah. Love that surname.
And it will be glorious. And of course, there'll be a whole new series of Alan Partridge on BBC One in the spring. Steph.
Do you remember how sad we were when Mel, Sue and Mary Berry weren't together anymore
yes,
on Bake Off?
I'm still sad.
Well, a Christmas miracle.
Yeah.
Because Mary, Mel and Sue's big Christmas thank you. It's like a thank you to us, really,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
So basically, it's a bit Annika's challenge-y, actually. Because,
it is.
Right, so...
I wish they'd bring that back. Have they brought that back yet?
I think it's on its way, isn't it?
It's on its way.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think Annika's challenging
famously,
herself right
Annika,
now.
Catherine Zeta-Jones' best friend. But that's a whole other thing.
What?
Yeah, it's true. We'll talk about that later. So, picture this. South Wales, okay? The post office is closed. The community's downtrodden, okay? Do you know what you need? You need a new community centre.
You do.
You need Mel. You
and
need
Mary.
Sue. You need Mary. You need to come together and rejoice about Christmas. And I'll tell you what, that's what happens in this wonderful show at 7 p.m. on Christmas
Could
Eve.
Could I just say, I've watched some of this show when I was, because I wrote the preview.
Is
and
it
is incredible. Because it really is like these three, you know, great people, Mel, Sue, Mary, are, they surprised these people who are setting up this community centre. So it is going to be
a tearjerker.
It's a total tearjerker, yeah. Tears will be shed.
Who's your favourite out of Mel, Sue and Mary?
Sue.
Oh,
mine's
God,
Mel.
I've known Sue. You didn't even.
Yeah, because
mine's
I've known
Mel.
Mary.
I've known Sue for quite a long time and interviewed her many times, and she's fantastic.
She's a treasure.
She's a treasure, yeah.
Treasure.
Before we move on, are we moving on? Or
no,
we doing,
please.
Are we still?
Still.
I'm just would like.
You're the one who has to leave soon to go for an appointment. So, you know, you can do what you like, Kay.
I would just like Steph to issue apology to all the EastEnders fans out there.
About making
yeah,
fun
taking
of the
piss
phone storyline.
All right, let's do a bit of housekeeping, okay? Sorry about Stacey's stupid phone. I'm firstly sorry she lost it. I'm even more sorry she found it. And also, do you know what? At the end of the last episode, when we talked about Judi Dench, I made a huge blunder, which I cannot believe nobody's picked up on.
Go on.
So when we were talking about
this
our favourite
like
Dench...
Judi did email in.
This is like the apologies...
Do you know what I said? And I'm so sorry to Joe Wright, because I know he listens all the time. I said about Joe Wright, oh, yeah, the Jane Eyre remake, which it wasn't the Jane... It was Pride and Prejudice,
of course.
Of course
it was. I knew that
what
at the time.
Dick.
I forgot to
what,
you
forgot
it.
To
Wait a minute,
me.
You're acknowledging you're a dick about that, but not about the...
No one cares about Stacey's phone.
Let's not end it on a sour note, because I'm going to finally mention the other... ITV's big drama on Christmas Day night is Victoria. They've got a feature in Victoria, and of course you'll see my favourite, Albert, is going to invent he's going to invent Christmas, pretty much.
Oh.
He's going to give a Christmas tree to all the little kiddies.
Oh.
And he invented Christmas, basically, how we have it now. He did.
That is true.
All the things, all
jokes
things,
aside.
Jokes aside, all the things we do, Christmas trees and baubles. He invented
the
bauble. I mean, I don't know if technically that's true, but in my mind it is.
He is a treasure.
He is
really
a treasure.
Is.
So yeah, 2 hours, two effing hours of Victoria at 9 o'clock on Christmas Day on ITV. I think we have summed up Christmas television between us.
Yeah, and we've cobbled it together, yeah.
Particularly EastEnders. And
the phone.
And we will be back. We're going to be back next week, aren't we?
Yeah.
Boxing Day, I think, is the episode will come out, with any luck.
Maybe if our falling out.
Have an amazing Christmas.
Have an amazing Christmas, everyone.
I hope you don't lose your phone.
Yeah, and,
you know?
And we're going to do a new year. We're going to look at all the shows for the new year, and we're going to do our look back on our favourite things of the year in television, and maybe even pop culture, because we always say that it is about pop culture.
Can
you have one final message?
Yes, because our reviews total on iTunes... Now
whoa,
we want to,
drum roll, hold on.
Here we go.
Ready?
It's 54, right? So
wow.
We've gone up by two reviews. John, don't look like that. It's fine. We said we were going to get 60. We aimed to get 60. There's still time.
If you want to give Kay the biggest Christmas present of all, or birthday present, because it's a birthday on the 23rd, then please do rate and review.
Do you know
it.
What? If we
or
get
indeed,
60,
send her a gift.
Yeah. If we get 60, and this won't mean anything to anyone other than to me, because I'll be the one to benefit, but I will get Netflix. If we get 60, and then you lot will never have to listen to me say I don't have Netflix again.
If we get 60, you will give yourself $7.99 extra.
Yeah, it's not about the money. I discussed this before.
Okay.
What?
It's about
too many options to view.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God. Well.
She can't be
anyway,
saved,
we've got
boys.
Two brilliant reviews. One from DiddyB64, who actually says, we make a long taxi shift a doddle, and... Specifically, nice one, Boyd.
Oh, gosh, I like you the best.
Also, thanks, we've got one from Ricky66, who I think we actually is one of our friends
what?
From IT. Rich Perry, the legend, and says, keep it up, guys. So
fantastic.
Thank you.
We will keep it up.
We will, but Kay won't. Well, Kay will if she gets her back sorted.
Happy Christmas, everyone.
Bye.
Well, it's a goodbye from me,
it's
actually.
A goodbye
from
me.
How we, it's how
it's
we finish the
It's a goodbye from
show.
Me, and happy Christmas, everyone.
Yeah.
And it's a goodbye from...
It's a goodbye from me. Kay.
Said it before, but I'll say it again. Bye-bye.